The reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and is in your church leaflets. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Paul. On that first Easter morning, there was a mystery. 3 days after Jesus had been killed, something strange had happened. Something unexplainable. I don't know about you, but who do you think you should turn to when there's a mystery? If you like classic literature or perhaps BBC adaptions, maybe I can give you a clue. What do you think? When you need a mystery solved, you turn to the world's best detective, who drops his magnifying glass. Sherlock Holmes. This is Sherlock Holmes in the mystery of the empty tomb. The game, my Watsons, that's all of you, is afoot. Now, I'm going to wait for my slides to catch up because I forgot to click. Now, as with all mysteries, there is an explanation to be found. So we need to consider the evidence and the timeline. First of all, let's think about the timeline. Jesus died on the cross. 3 days later, he was not found in the tomb. We have the question, where is Jesus? That's the question we need to solve today. Where is Jesus? So let's have a look at the evidence that John provides. First of all, may I direct your attention to item one, the empty tomb, as witnessed by Mary and Peter and John. There is no body, Watsons. What do you make of this evidence? Let me put it in a modern context for you. Imagine you went to a graveyard, say at an old church like Arborfield or Barkham. You'd probably imagine graves to look like this. But what would you think if you went there and you found them like this? What would you think had happened to the graves? Stolen, dug up. That's probably what Mary thought. She had went, she'd found the grave empty, and she says three times, "They've taken my Lord." So the first and most obvious theory that we should consider is the body was taken. What do you think of that theory? That works with the evidence we've got so far. But there's more evidence, Watsons, more evidence. Let me direct you to item two, the grave clothes. Now, they may not sound like very much. They were witnessed by Peter and John when they went into the tomb. Curious, Watsons. Very curious. They were laid out neatly like they hadn't been disturbed at all. Do you think that robbers would neatly lay out the grave clothes? Do you think what we've got here is tidy grave robbers? Imagine someone went to your house, stole your television, and made your bed. It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? So, hands up if you think what we've got here are tidy grave robbers. Hands up if you think there is a better theory than someone took the body. We're a little bit indecisive, but that's okay. We have more evidence. So we can cross off that theory first and foremost. But if the body wasn't taken, what happened to it? Only something amazing could have happened, surely. John went in and he saw and believed something amazing had happened. Could our new theory possibly be? No, it couldn't possibly be. No. We have to consider all of the evidence first before we start jumping to conclusions, Watson. We have another piece of evidence. Item 3, witness testimony. Mary Magdalene herself was at the tomb. She was the first there that morning. She reported the missing body. She ran to tell John and Peter about it. And then when they left, she stayed weeping at the tomb. She had the same question that we had. Where is Jesus? She didn't even stop crying when angels appeared to her. So she must have been really upset. But something changed, Watsons. When we get her witness statement, it's different. Her witness statement says this: I have seen the Lord. That was taken from Mary Magdalene that morning. She says, I have seen the Lord. She met with Jesus outside the tomb. He called her by her name and she recognized him. Now, Mary knew Jesus well, so she can positively ID him. She's not going to mistake him for someone else. She had seen the Lord. So we need to look at all our evidence together. What connects these things? Now, tombs, alive people don't need tombs, dead people do. And the same is true of grave clothes. Dead people need grave clothes, alive people don't. And only alive people can talk to other people. Dead people can't do that. So there's only one conclusion that I can figure, Watson's. One conclusion that all the evidence points to. He is definitely alive. He has to be. That's the only way the evidence makes sense. That is the answer to our mystery, dear Watsons. Jesus has risen. Elementary when you consider all the evidence, isn't it, Watsons? He has risen. John provided the proof. We've followed the evidence, and the conclusion we've come to is he is definitely alive. It's the only conclusion that makes sense. And that, for that reason, we should celebrate. He is living. He defeated death and he rose again. Why don't we celebrate now by listening to a song about that, a new song that recaps the Easter story and why it's such good news. And then we'll think a little bit about why it matters. I promise you, you'll be singing that song for days. It is so catchy, but what a great summary of the Easter story. Sherlock Holmes has had to leave us, and now he's got a lot of other cases to crack on with. But in the meantime, I thought it'd be good to hear from our mission partners out in the Gambia, the Algios. They've sent us a couple of video clips. If you're interested in knowing what it looks like to worship Easter Sunday in the Gambia, it looks a little bit like this. It's only a short clip. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's all they sent me. I was outraged. I wanted more of that. But they've also sent us a message, so we're going to play that now. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is bringing life to people who live in the world. It's great to see them, isn't it? For those of us who are here over the summer, the Algiers were with us for quite a long period of time. We miss them greatly, but it's great to see what they're up to. And they said they went to the beach for a baptism. It was actually one of the girls, if you remember from prayer letters a little while back, Harriet had been reading with a few girls from Muslim backgrounds. This is one of them. And you can see they're heading down to the sea there. They got baptized in the sea, and they sent us a video of the baptism itself. So this is something we were praying for. Great, isn't it? They wait for that wave to come in, and then they dunk them right under. Wonderful stuff. We were praying that Harriet would be making those connections with those local girls, and now one of them has been baptized. What amazing news for an Easter Sunday. And it's great that we can have a relationship with the Algiers, even though they're not with us in person. Even though we can't see them here, though they're not here in person, we can still hear from them, we can still know them, we can still have a relationship with them. And that's a bit like how we can have a relationship with God today. We see that in our Easter story. So let's recap what we've heard so far. We've seen the evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead. John really wants to show that that is true. In fact, he goes on to tell us that Jesus appeared three more times to the disciples. That's at least 11 more witnesses if we wanted to build Sherlock's case further. John is saying this really happened. Lots of people saw it. Lots of people can say that it's true. We can still have a relationship. Sorry, I've skipped a page. So we know it's true. He wants us to know that Jesus did not stay dead. He is alive. That's what we celebrate at Easter. But so what? What does it matter that Jesus is alive? Why does John want us to know this so badly? What does it all mean? Well, we just heard in that song that Jesus didn't stay dead. He is risen. But what we find out in John is that he didn't stay on earth. He went back to be with God. You might remember last week, Joel talked to us about the cross. And on the cross, Jesus said these words, "It is finished." That was what Joel spoke on last week. He had done it. He had taken all sin upon himself, paid the punishment for it. And the proof that it was over was that he rose from the dead. You see, sin leads to death. But if there's no more sin, there's no more death. That's what the empty tomb shows us. Jesus rose from the dead. And now that the work is done, he's returning to be with God. And that's what he tells Mary in John that Paul read a little bit earlier. You remember she was asking, where is Jesus? When she sees him, all she wants to do is hug him. She doesn't want to let go of him. She wants to just hold on to him and keep him nearby forever. I don't know if you've ever done this, but like holding onto a parent's leg when they go to leave the door. I know my son does this if I'm leaving and he's not happy about it. He grabs on, doesn't want you to go anywhere. But Jesus says he can't stay. He tells her he's going back to be with his Father. What has been accomplished in him dying and raising again has been done. And he tells Mary what that is. He tells her that people can now have a relationship with God. It's been a while since Paul read it, so we'll have it come back up on the screen here. This is what Jesus said to Mary. "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus calls God my Father and your Father. He says, my God and your God. Now, we don't have the same fathers, any of us, do we? If we had the same father, we'd be brothers and sisters. Maybe some of you have the same fathers, but none of you have the same father as me. But if God is our Father, all of our fathers, if we have the same Father in God, then that makes us brothers and sisters through Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. For the first time in John's Gospel, Jesus is saying God is our Father too. God is our Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. He calls his disciples his brothers. Those who follow him are his brothers. And God is now our Father. Jesus is our brother. You see, the way it works with the cross is sin separates us from God. That's always been the way with people. Sin kept us from God. But when Jesus defeated sin in dying, he got rid of that separation. And now we can have a relationship with God through Jesus and what he's done for us. Because of what Jesus did, we can know God personally as our Father. God is our Father. That's what we can know through Jesus. It's a pretty big game changer, isn't it? There's been a lot of things in the past that have changed the course of history. Let's have a little quiz, a little game. Anyone tell me what this is? Who knows what one of those is? Jack. A plane, an aeroplane. Now, does anyone know how we got to have aeroplanes? Does anyone know who made the first aeroplane? Toby and Nathan have their hands up, but I'm not sure they know. The parents are like, does any adults know? Oh, Ellen, do you know who made the first plane? The Wright brothers, you're right. Thank you, that is the best joke for today. The Wright brothers made it, and because of what they did, we can fly on planes today and we can have things delivered all around the world. Because of the Wright brothers, we have planes. Now, does anyone know what this is? It might be a very familiar sight this year. Anyone know what that is? Zoom. Yes, I don't know what Zoom it is. I just Googled Zoom, and this was, I hope these people know that they're on Google Images. But it's a Zoom call. Does anyone know? It's a bit like a telephone, isn't it? Does anyone know who made the first telephone? Elisha Gray. No, I'm joking. Alexander Graham Bell. Elisha Gray also made a telephone, but he didn't get the patent, so hard to be him. Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone looked like that. Because of what he did, we can have Zoom calls today. We can keep up with family on other sides of the world and people like the Algiers. Because of what Bell did, we can do that. Now, this one's a bit easier. Does anyone know what this is? A book. It's a book. Now, does anyone know, the first books a long time ago, but does anyone know why we have books, lots and lots of books? Anyone know that one? The Gutenberg printing press. You're absolutely right. It looks like this. It looks like a bit of a scary machine. But that, Johannes Gutenberg made that. And suddenly they can make books, loads and loads of books really quickly. Because of Gutenberg, we can read our bedtime stories. We can read our Batman comic books. And best of all, we can read our Bibles. That is what the printing press did for us. It got us all of those things. One more to test you out. Who knows what this is? Florence. A light bulb. You're absolutely right. Does anyone know who made the first electric light? Anyone know that one? Shout it out. Edison. You're wrong. It was Humphrey Davy. I know. Poor old Humphrey doesn't get enough recognition for his work. He made the first electronic arc light. And that was 77 years before Edison with his bulb. I was a bit mean because Edison did, I think, make the first bulb. But I said electric light to be a bit mean. Because of what they did, we can have light at night just by flicking a switch. But before all of them, the biggest game changer came. Jesus died on a cross and rose again. And because of what Jesus did, we can come to God as our Father. That's why John really wants us to understand what happened. That's why he wants us to know it really, really happened, because it changes everything. Jesus really did die. He really did rise again. He really did go to be with God. And if we trust in Jesus, we can do that too. And we can have a relationship with God as our Father. This is the good news of Easter. It's why we celebrate today. Sin is defeated. Death is beaten. And we can be with God our Father forever. We just need to trust that what we've seen here today is true and follow Jesus with our lives. It might be the first time that we've heard some of this. It might be the 100th time we've heard some of this. But for the first time, maybe we want to make that a reality in our lives. There's no better time to do that than at Easter. If that is you, then let me interest you. We've got some books here. Do come and chat to me at the end, and I'll be happy to give you one of those for free if you want to investigate a bit more about what happened at Easter. Because Jesus loved us, he laid down his life for us so we could know God as our Father. That is great Easter news. And we're going to celebrate it shortly. But first of all, we're going to spend some time praying. And the Missiokis are going to come and lead us in our prayers. And then we'll do some singing in just a moment.